Welcome to Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice. Today's reading from Isaiah was written at a time when the nation of Israel was recovering from great devastation. Their return from exile had begun, but not all their people had returned from exile in Babylon. Their temple had been destroyed and not yet rebuilt, and their whole culture, country, religion seemed compromised, in flux. But Isaiah sees this time as a great time for God, a time of vindication. In joy, he says, "He has sent me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, release to prisoners, to announce a favor, a year of favor from the Lord, and a day of vindication by our God, and to comfort all who mourn." A couple of points here. Note how healing these words are. Good news, the binding of wounds, liberty, release. But also note the phrase, a year of favor. This is a very specific term. But to the hearers of these words back in Jerusalem, they would know that the year of favor meant that this was the season when debts were forgiven. Jesus repeats these words in Luke 4:17, in the beginning of his Galilean ministry, when he unrolled the scroll and declared, "He is the anointed bearer of good tidings." And he proclaims a year of favor, a time when debts will be forgiven. With these words in Luke, Jesus declares himself our Savior, the forgiver of our greatest debt, our sins. Paul joins Isaiah in focusing us on joy when he says, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." The reading goes on to say, May the God of peace make you perfectly holy. For being at peace with God and with others fills one with joy and serenity, so much so that even great suffering and sorrow, if borne with faith, cannot take away one's joy. For as St. Jose Maria Escriva said, and he wrote in this book, Friends of God, "Being children of God, how can we be sad? Sadness is the end product of selfishness. If we truly want to live for God, we will never lack cheerfulness, even when we discover our errors and wretchedness. Cheerfulness finds its way into our life of prayer, so much so that we cannot help singing for joy, for we are in love, and singing is the thing that lovers do." And so for us, sitting in this place today, the Church of the Incarnation, named after the inbreaking of God into our world, how can we help from singing ourselves? Incarnation, the Word made flesh, in our midst, in our lives, dwelling among us. Last Advent, I came upon this quote from Father Dyckman, a leading liturgist and expert at Second Vatican Council. I read it last year, and I'm going to read it again this year because it's so perfect. One day, Father Dyckman had a realization. All of a sudden, he stood up and shouted, "It's not the resurrection, it's the incarnation. But we don't believe it. We don't believe we are invited to become the very life of God." Dyckman believed that salvation is first revealed not in the cross or resurrection, but in Jesus' conception and birth. God becoming human revealed to us our destiny, the essence of who we are. To be human is to be offered divine life. The greatest compliment ever offered is that humanity is so magnificent that God chose to become human with us. Whatever makes us stronger, enlarges our vision, expands our hope, deepens our capacity for compassion. Indeed, whatever makes us more human is, at the same time, making us more like God. Advent offers us an opportunity to more deeply reflect on our relationship with Christ, with this God who wants nothing more than to be with us. This time of year also offers us time to reflect on how our year went, secularly and spiritually. How are we preparing the way for the Lord? Last year when I preached through Advent again and focused on some spiritual things that I was doing with my life then. It was interesting to look back at where I was in my life then and where I am now. If you were to reflect on your year, how would it look? One of the practices I reintroduced into my life this past year was regular participation in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, I participated for decades in taking stock on a regular basis, sometimes daily, you know, an inventory, if you will, of my fears, my conduct, and resentments, share those with other people, and try to set the wrongs right. And I thought that was sufficient, this sharing with other people, that I didn't need absolution. I just needed to set the relationships right, pray to God for more faith to combat the fear, and find forgiveness, with God's help, for the resentments I had in my heart. But for me, that turned out not to be enough. So I availed myself of one of the church's healing sacraments. And what a blessing. Many good things have come out of this practice, but the most important, especially at this time of year, is the awareness that I need a Savior. Why this time of year? The answer is I won't bother to prepare for His coming through Advent, or any time, really, if I don't feel the need of a Savior. Not if I think I have all the answers, or I think I can heal myself. And I'm sure most of us know a practicing alcoholic or addict or two. If you talk to them about why they drink or do drugs the way they do, they will first deny that there's a problem with the way they behave. Then, even if they admit they have a problem, they will tell you they have it under control. They can control their drinking. They will tell you that they can fix it, that they can fix it themselves, that they don't need any help. Well, professionals in the treatment field and medical doctors will tell you it's a rare case where an alcoholic or an addict ever recovers control without help. They cannot heal themselves. They must get outside help. They must surrender to that fact. And while addiction is not itself a sin, sin is like an addiction in that we cannot get rid of it on our own. We cannot heal ourselves. Oh, we may be able to control our sin by willpower for a time, like the addict tries to, but in the end, we cannot completely free ourselves from it. We need God's help. We need a Savior. And like the addict, with the Savior's help, we are freed one day at a time by God's grace. For it is the coming of that salvific power in our lives today, that real light that John the Baptist spoke of, that we prepare ourselves for. That is why we are joyful this Sunday, this joyful Sunday, this Gaudete Sunday. For we have a God who loves us, who grants liberty to captives. Amen.